And I want to first of all thank you for your prayers. And also my wife and I would like to thank you for the fruit basket that you gave us last Sunday. That was very much appreciated. It was nice to munch on that throughout the week. It was very, very thoughtful. I sometimes talk to Art during the week, but I didn't do that this week. And I don't think he realized the songs that he chose, how they correlate with what I want to share. The song we sang here about, you know, time moving on, you know, Stanley told me that Brubaker, the one that wrote the song, said that he wrote that song when he was young, and he thought that 70 years is way out there. But he said he turned 70 and he said it looks different, because the song, like, wow, 3 score and 10, and he's there. And my thoughts went to this thought, and that is, if time tarries and the Lord doesn't come, we're all going to die. And the question you want to ask yourself, what are they going to say at your funeral? What are you going to be remembered by? And the songs that we sang this morning, kind of like, wow, you know, fading away like stars of the morning. So what are you going to be remembered by? We have, in our brothers' meeting, we were going through our values, vision, and missions, and there's some things that I want to touch here in regards to that. But just to get our thoughts rolling, I first of all want us all to bow our heads for prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you again this morning with grateful hearts. We thank you, Father, for everyone who is here. We pray that you might bless this message. We ask you might help me to say what you want me to say. Most of all, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work and move among us, that your Spirit would penetrate into our hearts so that we can see how you see us, and that we would be willing to have a will to do your will, and that we would be just wanting to give ourselves completely over to you and let you have the honor and the glory which you're worthy of. We pray just now, Father, if there's any evil spirits here, that you might cast them out in the name of Christ. Amen. I would like if you'd turn to Acts. There's a couple of verses here I'd like to read. It would be Acts 11. This is the beginning of the church era. And Acts 11, I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about after Stephen traveled as far as Phineas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was upon them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which were in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and of much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The the thing that I wanted to ask, they were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Why were they called Christians? Someone tell me? They followed Christ. They reflected Christ. They had Christ flowing from their lives. And they were Christ-like. And with that being said, the question I'd like to ask us to ask ourselves, am I Christ-like? And if you would have thought of the songs that we sang this morning, that was one of our cries, one of our prayers. You know, let me be like Christ. Let me be like Jesus. Anyway, the thing that I'd like to point out, is, which is kind of like the theme of the morning, is verse 23. It says, who when they were come had seen the grace of God, was glad, exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Thank you, Thomas. Purpose carries the thought of intentional. You have a purpose, you have a drive, you have a reason for what you're doing. And this morning, if I would have a title, the question I would ask is, am I an intentional Christian? Am I an intentional Christian? So, in this portion of Scripture, I also was impressed with this thought, and that is, there's a word that was used many times. If you would look here, in verse 20, it says, and spake unto the Grecians and preached the Lord Jesus. And then 21, the hand of the Lord was with them. And then, and believed and turned unto the Lord. And 23, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And 24, and the people was added unto the Lord. I've said this before, but the question is Jesus Lord of your life? Is Jesus Lord of your life? I had a message one time just on the word Lord. And the acronym that we use for Lord is, you know that he is your Lord when he is your leader, L. When he leads you, he is your leader. The one that you trust in, he is your Lord, he is your leader. You know that he is your Lord, and O, when he is your organizer. In other words, you ask God every day, Lord, direct my path. Show me what to do. Help me today. He's your organizer when he's your Lord. And we know that he is your Lord when he has become your Redeemer. When you've accepted him into your life, and he is your Redeemer that brought you back to a relationship with God. And D, the reason he is your Lord is he is delivering you on a regular basis. In other words, we're not perfect. We fail. But when we fail, we can go back to our Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, help me, and he will deliver you out of that situation. So my cry is he Lord of your life? The thing that in regards to being And the thing in being intentional is, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? We have, the person that I talked to last Sunday is not here, but I'm going to, I want you all to understand. Remember my illustration? Remember this, by any chance? We have vessels, we're all vessels, and I have two cans here that look alike, and the question is, this is scary, this one's crunched, that's not normal. The thing that, what I'm driving at is, when a person is filled and sealed, they will not be crushed. And what I'm driving at is, When we are filled with Jesus Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit, we will not get hurt and crushed like a person who's not. The world does not, a person who does not have Jesus Christ in their life has a tendency of getting hurt and crushed and damaged in many ways. Now I'm going to ask for a volunteer to come up here. I'm trying to think. Wilson, you come up here. I have this as a, I need somebody. Wilson, where'd you go?
He's coming.
Oh, you got your shoes on? That's a good idea. What I want you to do is, this guy doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, okay? He just thinks he can make go through life without anybody. Step on it. Amazing. You did crush. All right. Now this guy's, he's filled with Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. All right. That's enough. He does have a crack. What I'm driving at, thank you, Wilson. The question is, we have a choice. We have a choice if we want to have Jesus a part of our life or we want him out of our life. And in our brothers meeting, we have a draft that we've been working on. And in this draft, it says, we change it to messages on intentionality. Intentional, it says intentional youth, intentional courtship, intentional weddings, intentional marriages, intentional child training, intentional education, and even intentional grandparents. So the question is, am I intentional? And the meaning of intentional is done with purpose. It's actually done voluntarily. It's willingly. When you're intentional, you want to do this. And when I was thinking about intentional, there's no word, there's no intentional in the scripture. But There's some words that I think correlate, and I love the book of Proverbs. Diligent would be the same, yes.
A diligent soul shall be fat.
Yes, a diligent soul will be fat, that's right. And I would like to turn to Proverbs. There's a word here that is used over and over and over again. A person who, go back to the intentional, they think through some things. They don't just haphazardly. They're an intentional person. And I think the devil has tried to destroy a lot of people by being casual. You know, like, oh, what if... There's a word that struck me this past week that I was talking to. We were at a wedding yesterday, and I was talking to one of my niece and nephews, and I said, there's a word that really just rubs me a little bit. And I said, what's that? And they said, what's that? I said, well, whatever. Did you ever hear that saying? Whatever. You know, it's like, you know, who cares? Whatever. I'm like, wait a minute. Let's get real. I mean, let's have intention. Let's know what we're doing. You know, we don't just let things happen. We know that God is everything. And we have to focus on God. Anyway, Proverbs here, I like to read Proverbs 8, 10 to 14. Read like this. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Mm-hmm. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find knowledge of the witty invention. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and an evil way, and forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. We find strength when we find the Lord. When we are filled with Jesus Christ, we find strength. And the word prudent goes like this. It's showing care and thought for the future. It means a person with intelligence. It means a person with understanding. And according to Proverbs, over and over, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We have to have a fear of God. And that's why in our hearts, if we don't have God in our heart, we're going nowhere. I came across this interesting thought in regards to intentional. It says, the world tells us, live intentionally, means work hard, create the life you want, make your wish list, make it long, land the perfect job, and then it will burn you out, it'll frustrate you, no matter how hard you work. The thought is this, you can't live intentionally without putting God first, without finding fulfillment. You find fulfillment and success when you put God first intentionally. You put that first. And I was blessed with that. Just to give you a couple pointers in regards to prudence, I'm going to read some verses here. Proverbs 14. I'm going to read 8 and 9. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock of sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You could almost, let's reread that and say, the wisdom of the intentional is to understand his ways. We can go down to verse 15. The simple believe every word, but the intentional man looketh well to his going. Verse 18 says, the simple inherit folly, but the intentional are crowned with knowledge. We go to 15, verse 5, and it says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent or intentional. And then there's, I have another verse here, and that is, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm going to figure that out. In chapter 16, 21, it says here, the wise in heart shall be called prudent or intentional, and the sweetness of his lips increaseth learning. Anyway, so basically, the Bible does talk about being intentional. We need to be prudent. We need to be wise. And my cry is that each one of us would choose that. Now, what I'd like to do is just help us understand, and I hope you don't get bored with my acronyms. I'm not going to be writing on the board because you see that enough. But God wants intentional children. We need to be real, and every time I think of the word real, I think of Abner. And the song we sang, Fading Away, Only Remembered. Something wrong there? All right, that's fine. Yeah, it was probably the can. It was the full can, though. and that is, I remember at Abner's funeral, we said that Abner was a real Christian because he repented of his sin, he emptied himself, he always put God first, and he loved everybody. And if you are an intentional Christian, you have to be real. You have to have those characteristics or traits, or you're not being real. We also mentioned here multiple times that God loves fat children, F-A-T. He wants children that are faithful. He wants children that are available. He wants children that are teachable. And so we need to be real, and we need to be fat for God. So being intentional means making deliberate choices to reflect what is most important to us. This past week, it was brought to my attention. There's different people. You say, well, could you do this? And they say, oh, I don't have time. Well, we all have the same amount of time in a day, a week, whatever. And I thought about this when I was a teenager. You know, people who are very rich and people who are very poor have the same amount of time to get the same thing, get things done. But these people are intentional in what they do to accomplish what their interests are. And so we as God's children need to be intentional for God. So the question you need to ask is, You know, what does an intentional Christian look like? In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. I want to read that, because there's some verses, there's some truths there that I think sometimes we overlook. In John 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We've said many times that God is three L's. He's love, life, and light. And the opposite to that is, the devil is actually the opposite of all those three. He is deceit, he's darkness, and he's death. So we want to make sure that we are being filled up with truth so that we can be intentional. So the can isn't here anymore, but no, that's fine. I'm going down a little bunny trail. I told my brother-in-law what I was going to do, and he said, well, are you going to shake it up and show him what it does when a person gets upset? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. The idea is that we want to be filled with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will keep you from fizzing out. Anyway, the second thing I thought about is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, a intentional Christian prays without ceasing. And I think we have Jonathan here who explains how we can pray without ceasing. And it's being in the spirit of prayer, being in a walking relationship and a verbal relationship with God throughout the day. It's just, we just always have that relationship. So that is what a Christian, intentional Christian looks like. And also in Galatians 5, there's some verses here that I thought would be nice to read. Galatians 5, begin reading at verse 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that they cannot do the things that they would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then we go over here to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we fill ourselves up with Jesus Christ, and we have this relationship with God, and we ask God to continue to seal us and keep us, you know, we will not be affected by the onslaughts and the damage that Satan's trying to hurt us with. And it says they're walking the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, I would like to read some verses here. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8, it reads like this. For we were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest of the light, and whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Whereunto be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The thing is, in this portion, it's telling us that if you are filled with Jesus Christ, you're going to redeem your time. You're going to be careful what you take your time for. Are you going to be wasting your time watching a video? Are you going to be doing things that God would not approve? Or are you going to be helping other people find Christ? Are you going to be a witness for Jesus? Are you going to be helping people find out what really matters in life, and that's Jesus. Are we going to, in I think in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says that we are to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. We need to study the Word. We need to fill ourselves with the Word, but then also study it, understand it. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also in this portion, it says here we need to sing songs. It says spiritual songs. And in the society we live in, there's a lot of songs out there, but they're not all spiritual. There's songs that can take you down. And, I mean, growing up, I grew up when the Beatles were coming around, and there were songs there that were very attractive, or they kind of hooked onto you, and I thank God I'm out of it. But we have to have spiritual songs, songs that are going to be lifting us up and helping us be drawn closer to God. Also, it says here, giving thanks, and I've said this many times here, but an attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life, and so we need to have this spirit of gratitude. And then the last thing says, submitting one to another. In other words, that idea is to be humble. I have a couple more things that might be beneficial in what does intentional Christianity look like, and that is we have to realize Jesus surrounded himself with other people. You need to have, in other words, we can be filled with truth, okay? And we can be absorbing truth. Like someone came, there's a saying here that I really liked. It says, the next best thing to being wise is to surround yourself with those who are. In other words, if you want to be able to have a victorious Christian life, you need to have a huddle. You want to have people that are going to help you, encourage you, support you in life for truth and for righteousness. Because if we do not tap on to other people who are walking with Christ or who are filled with Jesus Christ and who are sealed with the Spirit, we're gonna be sitting beside these people who are like this. Where'd that go? And they really can't help you much. They can't even, there's nothing, I can't even put anything in this thing. Might be a little air. But you want to surround yourself with other people that are filled with Jesus Christ. Because then you can stand together. And I didn't do this, but if I would have 6 cans, full cans, can you imagine how much weight it could hold? It's amazing. The last time I stood on it, but I had a little funny feeling with that cringe. I didn't want to take a chance. But I was tempted to get somebody that was a heavyweight here, like, you know, maybe Henry or something. But I felt that you at least got the gist of what I'm trying to say. You need to be filled with Jesus Christ. And you do that by reading his word, by a relationship with him, so that we can stand and not be crushed by the pressures around us. There's one more thing that just came to my mind as we were talking here. The problem with a lot of people that we need to, first of all, acknowledge we need help. Okay? We have a lot of people who do not take responsibility for what they do. They like to blame somebody else. You know, she made me do it. Adam did that. You know, she made me do it. Oh, and the snake did this. You know, I blame everybody else. But no, take responsibility. If you want to go forward with God, you have to be accountable. You have to be responsible. And I think my wife and I tried to do that with our children. We tried to help them see they are accountable for their actions. What they do, there's consequences too. And they're past the stage of spanking. But I'm praying that they will continue to see that they are intentional Christians, people that are focusing on what God wants and not what they want. And when we do that, God's going to be glorified. And there's one more thing in regards to the intentional people, and that is, you think about it. People who are intentional with Christ are very influential. It's very powerful. I love being around people who love God because they're usually enthusiastic. They're on fire. It's very positive. And that's what God wants. God wants us to reflect his kingdom so that we can be a help or an assistance to other people. And if you don't take the time if you're not intentional in taking time to read the word and pray with God every day, you're going to end up like this. And it's worth a lot of scrap. I mean, I'm not sure what aluminum is right now, but it really isn't worth much. So my prayer is, be filled with the word, be filled with the spirit, and let God work in your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. And we pray that as your word went forth, that it would penetrate into each of everyone's life and heart, so that each one of us would have a desire to have the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, and the heart of Christ, so that the world can see Christ in our lives. And that through this whole process, you would receive the honor and the glory. And we pray that everyone here, Father, would be ready to meet you when Jesus comes. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.